from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you were listening to the Maggie and Perloff show yesterday, you heard one very confident Andrew Bogish guarantee that Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love would be practicing yesterday. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff show. Maggie is on vacation. Bogish, the new Adam Schefter of Infinity Sports Radio Network, was claiming that Jordan Love would show up. Jordan Love did not practice. He did show up at Green Bay's camp, but he did not practice. He is basically holding in until he gets a new contract. So the Packers and Jordan Love are working on a contract. To Bogus' surprise, he did not practice yesterday, not to my surprise, because I pointed out, rightfully so, that the Packers do play a little bit of hardball with their quarterbacks. They're not a doing everything the player wants team, in part because they don't have an owner. They don't have John Mara like the Giants wandering down the GM's office and say, you know, it'd be nice if you signed our quarterback. So the other thing, too, about the Packers, they're very smart about contracts. They don't like to get tied in to long-term deals that tie up their cap forever. They like to have a lot of flexibility. So I think that's what they're arguing about right now. One thing they're not arguing about, and I believe this, is the quality of player Jordan Love is. Jordan Love, the second half of the season, was awesome. Statistically, the best quarterback in the whole NFL the last 8 weeks of the season. He was fantastic in the playoffs. And the thing about, I was thinking about Jordan Love, Bogus, and tell me if you agree with this. When Kirk Cousins throws for 350 yards, like, how do you do that? Jordan Love does it, and he looks amazing. Like, you just eyeball this guy. Like, he is awesome. So I think he's about to become the highest paid player in the one thing they're not arguing about, and I believe this, is the quality of player Jordan Love is. Jordan Love, the second half of the season, was awesome. Statistically, the best quarterback in the whole NFL the last 8 weeks of the season. He was fantastic in the playoffs. And the thing about, I was thinking about Jordan Love, Bogus, and tell me if you agree with this. When Kirk Cousins throws for 350 yards, like, how do you do that? Jordan Love does it, and he looks amazing. Like, you just eyeball this guy. Like, he is awesome. So I think he's about to become the highest paid player in the NFL. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen necessarily this morning. I think when this is all done, he becomes the number one quarterback on the list.
Yeah, which is only half an accomplishment. But first of all, I'll take the heat for being wrong on Jordan Love yesterday, but don't you dare say that you were right
because
you said
so
the other direction. You never put your foot down and said he's not going to be there today.
Well,
or yesterday.
Foot down is a strong term. I might not have hit the gas on that take, but when you said that, you were so confident. I saw a vulnerability there. I'm like, Bogus thinks he knows something here. You know, Bogus, last name, sounds like he could be from Wisconsin. Could be in on the situation, like Gutenkutz.
Yeah.
Maybe you know him or something.
Gunty, my man. Yeah, we're tight. I mean, he's been a friend of the show because of that ridiculous last name for years. A friend of the time slot, I should say.
Well, you can understand why a quarterback wouldn't practice if he didn't have the deal. Like, you don't want to go out there and get hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And you're playing a little hardball in the negotiation.
I mean, this is the new thing, right? Like, you hold in, like you said. So you go, and you go to meetings. And you have lunch, and there you ride your bike back and forth from the dorms to the field or whatever, but you don't actually step on the field. It's your last little bit of leverage in all of this. Now, I was surprised. I thought they were closer, like really on the verge of something being done.
I think they are.
Well, that was my next point. I don't think that him staying off the field means anything yet. It's July 23rd today, 22nd. It doesn't. I can't say it doesn't matter, but it's not a big deal. Like, this will get done maybe by the end of this week. I don't think this means, like, his decision yesterday, and apparently he told them about this on Saturday night, so it would have been nice if it had leaked before we came on the air yesterday, and I didn't make a fool of myself going in the wrong direction. But I don't think that this is the sign of them being oceans apart and that this is going to in any way impact the coming season.
All right, let's play it forward a little bit. If we both agree that he is about to sign a big deal, if he signs for $55.5 million, just $0.5 million higher than the Trevor Lawrences of the world, does that impact your thoughts on the Packers' championship hopes? Because we have seen a trend. When you pay the quarterback, you can't pay everybody else. And this is a Green Bay team that clearly had Super Bowl with Brett Favre, Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, and they think that Jordan Love is the next guy. Are you a little bit less optimistic about their future if they tie up all this cap space with Jordan Love?
No. I mean, you tried to pull this on me yesterday, and I tried to then rebut with Andrew Brandt.
Yeah, that was a disaster when you tried that.
But I stand by Andrew Brandt because he's run an NFL team and negotiated NFL contracts. Mm-hmm. I think he has a better feel for this setup
than Andrew Perloff, who's never run anything
or
except
Andrew
a fantasy
Bogish
team.
Yeah, right. All three Andrews involved here. He's the one to lean to in this direction.
Yeah.
So, like, and it seems logical to me. You got to have a quarterback. Jordan Love, to me, as I said yesterday, is a good enough guy, a good enough player to get them in position to be in the Super Bowl. And once you get there, you might have a bad day. There's infinite number of reasons why you don't actually win the game. But he appears to be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback to me. So you pay him. And what that means is you have to be smart the rest of the way. It doesn't mean you can't pay other guys. You just need to make sure that you're paying the right guys, because I guess the huge cap hit does take away a little of your margin for error on certain things. But just signing Jordan Love to a contract does not change anything about the Packers' future in my mind. In fact, I mean, it makes it that much better, because I think and they think they've got their guy at the most important position, and you can only assume, it's safe to assume, that he's just going to get better as he plays more and more snaps.
Okay, so if he does sign this monster deal that we both expect this week, he will likely surpass Joe Burrow, $55 million average salary, Trevor Lawrence, $55 million, Jared Goff, $53 million, Justin Herbert, $52.5 million, Lamar is at $52 million, and Jalen Hurts at $51 million. Tua could get into the 50s this week, too. So there's going to be, at this point, 8 quarterbacks, once it's all done, who are going to get $50 million a year. I do think this still makes an impact. I know the cap keeps going up. I disagree with you a little bit that you can just pay that kind of money and expect all these guys to stick around. And we're not just talking about offensive weapons. You know, maybe it's a star cornerback who they lose, like the Chiefs did last year. I know the Chiefs keep winning Super Bowls, but this stuff does have an impact. Bogus, I disagree with you. Like, you can't just pay everybody. Like, a lot of teams do not have that formula. The Chiefs are not a great lesson because nobody's like the Chiefs.
How can the Chiefs not be a great lesson when they've won the last 2 Super Bowls Patrick Mahomes?
Mahomes is getting $10 million less than Trevor Lawrence per year. He signed a very team-friendly deal, then he redid it in a way that didn't kill the team either. So Mahomes leaves a little bit of room.
But he's not making $5 either.
He's not making $5, but according to this list on Spotrac.com, which tracks salaries, he's number 10 between Kirk Cousins and Josh Allen, who, by the way, will get paid again. But
right.
$45 million. That's a big deal. That is significant. That's the old Tom Brady thing. Just a little bit. That's what the Packers are doing this for. That's why they're playing hardball. Like, every little contract matters.
Oh, I don't know. I know it matters, but I think what doesn't change, though, is the number one priority of the job as a GM is to spend your money, your cash, your cap space on the right people. Like, that's what you can't overcome is 8 bad contracts. You can overcome 1 or 2. You can trade away guys, dead cap space. All those things are out the window now. Teams will sit on 30 mil, 40 mil money that for guys that are not on their roster anymore. But at some point, there becomes too many mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem, is the amount of mistakes. The problem is not Jordan Love's contract.
Okay.
If Brian Gutekunst signs Jordan Love on Wednesday to this mega deal and then spends Thursday and Friday setting money on fire on bad players, that's the mistake. It's not the quarterback contract. So, and that's true always. You just can't mess up that many times as a general manager. If you do your job correctly, everything can happen. You can have a quarterback making a lot of money. If you draft well, if you sign well, and then there's always going to be tough decisions. You're going to be in Cincinnati or San Francisco and go, okay, I've got Ja'Marr Chase, I've got Deebo Samuel. Do I need Brandon Ayuk and T. Higgins? Like, those decisions are just always going to be there. So, like, the quarterback contracts, you're presenting it almost as if they're bad news from the beginning, and I don't believe in that at all.
Well, explain to me then why every Super Bowl except for 1 or 2 of the last 15 years has had a quarterback on a rookie deal. That's just coincidence?
No, I'm sure. Obviously, it helps to not have to spend money in certain places, but
especially quarterback. Look at the Niners with Brock Purdy. That's a godsend for them. They can pay everybody.
But the rest of their roster, they've paid a bunch of money to because the timing was they already had McCaffrey, they already had Samuel, they already had Bosa, and now they were luckily able to sneak in Brock Purdy, but they also did that by having money tied into other people.
Well, they were able to re-up McCaffrey, I think, this offseason. They were able to do a lot of deals because Purdy was on that rookie deal. I think you're underestimating how valuable that is. Now,
No. But I'm not. But again, I don't. You are very easily dismissing the fact, discount aside, that the Super Bowl champions the last 2 years have had Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback.
Right, who took less.
He took less, but he's still taking $40+ million.
Okay,
he's not cheap by any standard.
They won the Super Bowl, but did they win in convincing fashion, Andrew Bogus?
Who cares? They won the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
They needed a bad call and a slippery field. They needed a slippery field against the Eagles. Then if Kyle Shanahan takes the ball second in overtime, maybe it's a different result. I'm just saying. No, I'm joking. That's a joke.
But what's your alternative here? Not sign Jordan Love? No. To not sign Joe Burrow? To not sign Josh Allen? What's your point? What's the end game?
Here's what Goody is doing. Mm-hmm. Goody and there's another guy who negotiates contracts there in Green Bay. They are taking the agent for Jordan Love and they're saying, look at the Niners. The Chiefs. They pay Patrick Mahomes a little bit less. Let's do a deal where he doesn't come in at 55. Let's do effectively a $48 million deal or $50 million deal, leave a little bit of room. That means one more player. That means one less receiver we have to get rid of because they have to pay a lot of receivers. They have a lot of young receivers. I'm sure they're in a room right now saying, hey, just give us a little space here. And that makes sense. If I'm Jordan Love, I actually consider it because he's going to, you know how far $48 million goes in Green Bay, Wisconsin? You can buy the biggest house by far. I think they're trying to tell him to take a little bit less so we have some cap flexibility. I'm sure Jordan Love's agent has no interest in that, but I'll bet you that's what the conversation is right now.
Yeah, and it also might be figuring out where either side has, where the Packers, I guess, specifically have the ability to move on. Because it's one thing to say, oh, this deal averages $55 million a year over 6 years. But that's not necessarily the actual value of the contract because that's not guaranteed money that the guy is going to get no matter what. Like, there's 9 different ways to present these contracts these days, but only 2 of them sometimes actually matter. Like, what's guaranteed at signing, where the escape route is for teams to get out of a bad deal, because that's what's key, is what I have to pay you and how long I have to pay you for. If I sign you to a 10-year, $1 billion contract, but really it boils down to 2 years and $40 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, sitting here in New York, that's been the debate about the Daniel Jones contract.
Right.
It looks like a lot of money, but the Giants have 10 more months and they can be done with it. And they can move on. So and even is throwing an annual average value out make any sense in terms of what really matters? Like, if you do percentage of cap space, Mahomes' contract becomes the 5th highest in the NFL. He takes up 23% of the Chiefs' cap.
Should be the highest, obviously.
Has he been helpful? Has he given them money back? Sure. But he still takes up almost a quarter of their entire salary cap. So that leaves 3/4 of the cap for the other 52 guys on the roster. They have figured it out.
Let me paint a scenario for you. What if what I said is actually happening, where the Packers are asking them to come $5 million less than they want? They want $56 million a year. They want Jordan Love to become the highest paid quarterback. Adam Schefter says that's probably going to happen this week. What if the Packers are saying, hey, dude, can you take $50 million? It would really help us out. If that's the case, and say Jordan Love holds out for 2 weeks because of this, whose side are you on? Who is ultimately right, the quarterback or the team?
I don't know about right or wrong, but I think that Jordan Love has to get the last available dollar for Jordan Love.
Yeah. I think Maggie would agree with you. She's a player's first kind of person.
Yes.
And I understand. I just think that sometimes for players, there is a reason to take maybe a little bit less structured, a little bit differently to get some help at quarterback. Because Jordan Love is going to be in Green Bay for the next 12 years getting a lot of money. So I think Tom Brady and Patrick, I'm just arguing that you can take 3% less. You can help out in the structure. You're talking about the structure.
Yeah.
You can do little things here. So I think that's why they're holding out right now. I think I would be a better negotiator. I think I'd be a better Goody than you. I feel like you're too emotional in this conversation. I feel like if we were in a negotiating room and we were both Packers executives, I would have to tell you to go get a glass of water while I talk business.
You think as an agent, you're presenting, or you, as like yeah. your argument of
take
there's
less.
Always a young quarterback in the Super Bowl, but the last two and three of the last four, right, have been won by Mahomes. I don't see how that flies.
Well, I mean, we're talking like 12 of the last 14 years, they've had a quarterback on a rookie deal. I'd give those numbers to them. I'm like, yeah, Mahomes, by the way, Mahomes' first Super Bowl, he was still on his rookie deal. Brock Purdy's on his rookie deal.
Hasn't won
Jalen Hurts was on his rookie deal. Joe Burrow was on his rookie deal. You go on and on and on. Yes, Brady Mahomes screwed it up, but those guys are outliers. See, I'm bringing the science.
The,
I'm bringing the data.
So you want the rookie to lose the Super Bowl. That's what your aim is, to have a young quarterback lose the Super Bowl?
Mahomes won it on a rookie deal.
Because right, so but you're talking about the economics flipping. Like somebody was getting paid on all of those
mm-hmm.
teams
mm-hmm.
early on. It wasn't the quarterback,
right?
Then it became the quarterback, and they're sustaining success because it's just about rearranging the money.
But I think we do generally disagree. Like you have to admit, there's a reason that quarterbacks get drafted so high, so you could get that 4 years of cost control.
Ooh, or maybe take them in the years. First round. So you
yeah,
get the
then
fifth
you can
year.
Sign all the great defensive ends and everybody around them, and get you can bring Stephon Diggs into Buffalo. There's so many reasons
so
to
then,
do this.
So then keep going. Like then tell me that you yeah. shouldn't sign a quarterback to a second contract, and you should just every five
no,
years
no.
have a new one.
I'm not saying that the reality is to have sustained success, you do have to sign
right.
that new quarterback. But by the way, the Packers are more aggressive in drafting quarterbacks than any team in the history of the league. They took Jordan Love while Aaron Rodgers was still at the peak of his game. But basically, I'm sitting there in the room with Love and saying, flexibility for the team's overall payroll is so important to our success, and you are all about our success, so help us out.
Right, and the agent goes, I read Andrew Brandt's column from last February, yeah. and you know and I know that you don't need the savings.
I don't believe in this column from last year. You talked about it yesterday, then you actually gave me none of it. You sort of talked about something about cash versus cap. I still don't understand a word you're saying about it.
I've sent it to you twice. Well, I sent it to you once, and then EJ found it yesterday and put it in this. So if you choose again not to read it, that's on you and not me.
Well, we're trying to get Andrew Brandt to explain it to me. I need the audiobook version. I need the person here. I love Andrew Brandt. Andrew Brandt, of course, is a sports business writer. He lives in suburban Philly. So we have a bond. Trust me, you're not going to get Brandt against me. We think the same way. See, I could be a cold, calculated NFL executive. You'd get in there, and you'd start yelling at somebody, probably. It wouldn't go good. You've known Bogus for a while. Do you think he could be a GM in an NFL room?
Oh, of course. He has the temperament for it.
Are you serious?
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
You would be a terrible GM, too. Both of you. You would be the worst two GMs ever. You guys should run.
That'd be great.
Pete would fire managers once every 10 days. I wouldn't do that.
People's lives.
Pete, you think you could be a GM?
Yes, definitely. Especially in baseball more so than football.
You don't think you would get a little angry if the players underperform just a little bit? I feel like you're not sort of detached enough to be a good executive.
Well, I would make myself detached. That's the key.
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't think either of you guys are cut out to be a... GM.
Hey, I volunteered a bunch of organizations that need a GM. I've asked and I've offered my services for free for a year.
And they keep saying no for some reason.
No, that's their fault.
All right, Pete, just a little exercise. Aaron Rodgers, you're the Jets GM, something you've always wanted to do, you and Larry David. Aaron Rodgers comes in and says, I want to redo my deal. Give me 4 more years at $50 million a year. Are you doing it?
No.
What are you telling him?
I'm telling him you're going to play out your contract. If you don't want to play the contract out, we'll move you.
I thought you were going to say get lost or one of those good Pete-isms.
No, I'm not giving him an extra 4 years on top of this. No way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to hear some anger here.
Oh no, you'll get anger when it gets to other things. That's an easy one, I think.
Yeah, we'll ask Andrew Brandt if we can rally and get him at the end of the show today. Just to weigh in, who would be a better GM? We'll give our approaches to this Jordan Love situation. I think I could convince him to take less. Like significantly less. Structure it to help the team. Because ultimately, Jordan Love is about winning. You know, Schefter does say he will get paid. I think that's important, Bogus. Like, let's not kill ourselves here to pretend like their team and the quarterback are not on the same page. But right now, he's not practicing. They play the Eagles the first Friday in Brazil.
Oof.
So there is a reason to get it done at a certain point. I mean, as an Eagles fan, I wouldn't mind if they got it done that Saturday. That'd be nice. I think Sean Clifford is a backup right now, former Penn State quarterback. You can weigh in.
There's actually a battle. Him and the dude from Tulane came out.
Michael Pratt?
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. I saw another thing, too. They're short an arm in practice. So Sean Mannion, former longtime backup around the NFL, former Oregon State quarterback, is sort of acting like a quarterback. He's a coach, but he's doing all the drills. First of all, I can't believe Sean Mannion's already a coach. Feels like he's 27 years old. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. You can weigh in on Jordan Love. But up next, we have to talk about LeBron James. Is his performance in these exhibition games for the Olympics making you rethink next year's NBA season? We'll get into that next. Maggie and Pearl.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Fill off show. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie Gray. You can watch us on the Infinity Sports Network YouTube page. EJ Stewart is going to be on the Zoom now. Our executive producer is laid up with a torn patellar tendon. EJ, are you there? How you doing, bud?
What's up, guys?
So I posed a question, who would be the best GM between me and Andrew Bogus? But I want to expand it to everybody in the show. So I want your opinion, EJ. Include Maggie Gray, Andrew Bogus, Pete Bellotti, and let's go with Peter Schwartz is here to update too. Actually, no, Schwartz is not going to be a GM. So of that crew, me, Bogus, or Maggie, and I'll put you in it. You can put yourself in there. Who would be, and Bellotti, who would be the best GM?
Well, by the way, Schwartz would be an awesome maybe Arena Football League commissioner, but I don't know about general manager. So I back of the envelope this when you guys were talking. So I went number five. I went with you, Perloff.
Yeah, I knew you'd do that. Okay.
Yeah, I went with you because, you know, we've seen that you talk behind people's backs. I feel like you'd have kind of like a...
Oh, are you mad? You're just mad because I ripped you to shreds about the sitcom bracket yesterday. I could tell all day long you were sitting on that.
That's everybody. Whoever's not around, you talk behind their back. I think you'd have a Rob Pelinka aspect.
I talk behind their back? That is crap.
I think people would get upset. I think you would annoy a lot of players, a lot of agents. So you were five. At Pete at four. Pete does great administrative work for the station, but I think sometimes a little hot-headed, so I don't know if that's the best term for a GM.
Get lost.
Number three, I went with Andrew Bogus.
All right.
I think Bogus, he'd be solid. I think he'd be solid. I'm not sure.
I'd always find work. I agree with you.
I do agree with Perloff. I'm not sure that in a tight, tight, tough negotiation, if Bogus is really going to hold his ground. Like, I think he was seeding ground in that last conversation. I'm with Bogus three. I went Maggie Gray at number two.
Shocker. Because
Maggie's very put together.
Wait, no. Stop on Maggie. Which leaves who at number one?
Which leaves your boy, EJ Stewart, at number one. I'd be the best general manager. You know, I love you guys, but I got age on my side, right? Most of the best young general managers in the NFL, NBA, and it'll be all young guys. So I'm more age appropriate for the position.
We all got two working legs.
I'm closer to the age of the players as well, so a little bit more of a better relationship there. I mean, it's just an obvious fit. And I think I'm the only I know Pearl's got Ivy League, but I'm the only grad school master's person here. So
in
I'm
going to go with administration
as number one.
Pete, can you cut off his mic and end his Zoom right now? Because first of all, you can't pay Jalen Brunson $275 million a year.
I'll give you infinity dollars for infinity years.
Retire your number as a player.
Want to coach too?
All right.
Any other friends you want on the roster?
What kind of painkillers are you on, dude? I mean, seriously.
I would be an amazing general manager. I mean, I help run this show. I mean, look, I'm showing that I could run this show even from the Stewart compound. So I've shown that I could be kind of like Phil Jackson, right? He could be in Montana trying to run a team. I could be somewhere else trying to run a show. And I've shown that I'm able to do that. I have a great quality to be a general manager. I think you guys first of all, you guys skipped over Maggie. And I want to just say again, Maggie would be great. Maggie is super put together.
You skipped over Maggie.
No, I put Maggie number two. I put her over all you guys.
All right.
I just think you know my fandom. I think Maggie's fandom.
I can't do this. I can't do it. I was not joking. Pete, end the Zoom and take down his mic. I don't want to see him on that Zoom. Go just put Peter there. Just our cap, if you're listening, just get EJ off the Zoom.
Can we put a big X over his face or like just freeze it and like gray it out so it looks
censored.
Like he's...
I guess this is your fault. I guess I talk behind people's back. I'm going to talk in front of their back. That is the stupidest ranking I've ever heard. And you have to sit out an hour. I'm not doing it. Let's go to Peter Schwartz with updates.
All right. Good morning, guys. It was sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's begin with baseball. Let's begin with baseball, and we'll start in Los Angeles where the Giants and...
I'm not hitting anything.
No, you're not.
Baseball.
Giants and Dodgers tied at two in the eighth inning.
Two balls, two strikes. Two on, two out. Game tied at two. The pitch. Hernandez with another base hit into center field. Teo, time and again, comes through in the clutch. The Dodgers lead 3-2.
The call on Dodgers radio. Dodgers win their fourth in a row. Beat the Giants 3-2. Teoscar Hernandez 3-for-4 with a homer, and he drove in all three Dodger runs. Now to Seattle, where the Angels and Mariners were tied at one in the ninth.
And here's the pitch on Adell, and he swings and grounds one right up the middle. That ball's going to go into center field. Here comes the throw to the plate. It's late. The ball gets away. Angels have another runner breaking for the plate, and they get a second run there as the Angels get both runners home.
That was Terry Smith on Angels Radio, and the Angels beat the Mariners 3-1. Other games, the A's beat the Astros 4-0. Yeah, the Royals over the Diamondbacks 10-4. Bobby Witt Jr. 3-for-4 with a homer, a triple, a double, three RBI. The Cubs beat the Brewers 3-1. You had the Mets over the Marlins 6-4. Francisco Lindor with a couple of home runs. And Juan Soto with two home runs. Yankees over the Rays 9-1. Packers quarterback Jordan Love says he will not practice until a new deal is done. The Packers and Love said to be close to an agreement on a contract extension. At the Olympics, pre-warm-up game for the United States men's basketball team, they beat Germany 92-88. LeBron James had 20.6 rebounds, 4 assists, and the USA finishes their pre-Olympic tour at 5-0, and LeBron James will be the flag bearer for the U.S. Olympic team.
Definitely being a kid, we all come from, you know, different walks of life, different cities, different upbringings. I think the last thing on our mind we will ever have is carrying a flag representing our country during the Olympics. So it was never a thought, it was never a dream, but it's absolute honor.
Blotty, good news. J.J. Redick is going to be by his side with a glass of Merlot to complete this experience for you.
I don't want to hear about J.J. Redick until he retires.
Retires from coaching?
From anything.
Yeah, so just to be clear, though, this whole Olympic experience, does it bother you LeBron is the best player on the team and is dominating these exhibition games?
Yes, it does. I want the break dancer to carry the flag into the arena, not LeBron James.
Fair. All right, Peter, sorry.
The NBA could stay on TNT after all. Warner Brothers Discovery has matched Amazon's $1.8 billion per year offer. Turner's had an NBA package since 1984. And games have been on TNT since the network began in 1988. But sounds like there'll be some legal mumbo-jumbo with this now.
Yeah, so that means Barkley's back, right? In so many words.
Not yet.
Well, he's back for at least another year.
Oh, that's right. One of the confusing things about this story is they already had another year under contract. But what do you mean not yet?
So the way I've read it is that, mm-hmm. Yes, TNT has matched this, but no one knows exactly what the league, like the actual wording is. People mm-hmm. think the NBA and Amazon might have structured a deal that TNT actually can't like match point by point by point. And then there are still courts and whatever. So I don't know. This decision yesterday does not guarantee anything yet, as far as what I read yesterday.
But at least it shows TNT is willing to be in this competition.
Right, but just by simply saying we match doesn't kill the Amazon part of all of this yet. Like, they didn't win yesterday. They just played their next card.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm very disappointed because I really want to have to figure out how to go from Amazon to cable to watch a Bulls-Pacers game in November. Like, that is something I'm really looking forward to, this NBA streaming. Oh, my gosh. Just keep it on TNT and just have it like it used to be and go to Kenny and Charles. I'm annoyed by the whole thing, but I'm glad. I think just this matching to me says, hey, TNT says we're going to be in this game. We're not going to go away. Because also, if you take the NBA away from TNT, I think it becomes... what's it known for?
Right. Well, I mean, Law and Order reruns. But that's the point of why were they talking so tough when this all began? Because we don't need the NBA. Well, you should probably keep the NBA.
Well, I think that's why they're matching this. I think they're going to be in it. I think we're going to get Charles Barkley.
But they
for
have
several
to match it because they talk like dopes, and the NBA called their bluff and signed with somebody else. If David Zaslow, whatever his name is, didn't try to like stiff arm the NBA. They would have never been on the outside looking in the first place.
Well, yeah, but the NBA will basically sign with any organization that's going to give them money. They don't care at all about like what this looks like or what the fan experience is. They're just purely greedy here, right?
But that dude talking smack opened the door for TNT to be left out. No,
absolutely, absolutely. All right, what's that,
Peter? But if they have a right to match, then they should be able to keep the games, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
eventually they're going to be back on TNT to some extent.
Yes, but like, sometimes when you say like offer sheets,
yes,
in certain sports, when you say, okay, we match it, that ends the conversation. Like, that's it. What TNT did yesterday did not end the conversation. As far as I read yesterday, like, there still are ways that a court could intervene, that the NBA thing can still say, no, you're not actually, like, you can't just say, okay, I'm going to also pay you $1.8 billion. Like, you have to match everything in the agreement. And, like, they don't have a streaming service like Prime does to actually match it. So this is them continuing the fight, but it's not them ending the fight.
Listen, Bogus, I was a paralegal after college. I think I know what I'm talking about here. We get more Barkley. At least that's what I hope. All right, Peter, what else you got?
NBA Summer League. The Heat beat the Grizzlies 120-118 in overtime in the championship game of the Summer League in Vegas. Josh Christopher was the game MVP with 24 points. Perloff, if you watch this.
I was tuned into ESPN at 9:30. I was waiting for the 10 o'clock Sports Center. And I couldn't believe the Summer League's still going on. It feels like it's been going on forever. This was one of the more exciting basketball games I've seen in a while. Both teams desperately wanted to win. And then it went to an Elam ending where they had to score 7 points to get to 120, which is really exciting. They won. Everyone's jumping up and down. There's a trophy presentation. I did not know that was going to happen.
And they got rings.
What?
Like some kind of 20-year anniversary of the Summer League rings?
Chicken rings?
Like, I don't all of this is mesmerizing. The fact that there were semifinals and a final, they just didn't just stop playing. Like, that we had crowned a champion, guys celebrated. I saw a tweet, I'm assuming it came from EJ, that said, this means more than the bubble title. So, there's so much bouncing around this game last
night.
That's
funny. The one thing I did tell you, there was some foreign guy on the Heat who hit a big shot at the end and hit some three-pointers. I'm really excited to see him knock the Knicks out of the second round of the playoffs. EJ's not upright. He can't respond to that. You should hear what I say behind his back about the Knicks. I don't even need to say anything behind his back. They haven't gotten to anything. They haven't done a single thing. Anyway, what else?
And one last thing. Three-time Grand Slam champion Andy Murray announcing he'll retire after the Paris Olympics. Takiya. Thank you.
Andy Murray's been retiring for about 9 years now. That's still going on?
He was like, doing his thing at Wimbledon, like crying, saying goodbye to everybody. I thought that was his retirement, right?
It was his last Wimbledon. I think what he's saying is now he's not playing after Paris. He could have finished playing this year.
But he's been ineffective for a while now. When's the last time he won anything?
Well, he's playing on a fake hip, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily a huge
playing
Andy Murray
fan
one way or the other. it might be more fun, by the way, if we keep EJ's picture up and just we all take shots at the Knicks and not let him respond. That could be an entertaining way to get through the morning. Who's down with that?
Well, I'm a Knicks fan, so I'm not.
Give me a break.
Is Charles Smith on the show this morning?
Xavier McDaniel?
Hey, don't say anything bad about the X-Man. He was awesome.
That's why I said it.
All right. Anything else, Peter?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Pico DeGoyo.
We're going to, later in the show, we're going to break down the Arena League final that was played at a mall.
We are?
And we're going to do 19 minutes on Summer League. If you're listening on our fine affiliates, Maggie will be back. Don't panic.
I take offense to those comments. Everything is fine. Not that I want Maggie back, but it's okay.
I think I enjoy it. I think the audience enjoys it. I know EJ can't stand it, obviously. Fifth in GM rankings. He's going to pay for that one.
Imagine being so non-humble. Even if you thought you were the best GM of the group, most humans would have put themselves at two at the top.
Or taking themselves out of the list.
Yes, and I'm going to take myself out. Here's the other four. But he kept himself in and then rationally got to himself at number one.
Right.
Because he's younger and cooler than us?
That's what makes a good NFL GM.
wait, so I have a question. How many of you guys...
Who unmuted him?
Yeah, how many of you guys... First of all, I know the password. I run this show, okay? I'm still the executive producer, so which gives me GM-like responsibilities. How many of you guys have led the Jets to a Madden championship? How many of you guys have led the Knicks to a NBA 2K championship? How many of you guys have led the Mets to a MLB The Show?
I had to cut him off on that one.
Yeah. I knew that was coming. Who just rebuilt Hawaii into a football power in CFP 25? That was me, people.
I got to admit, that was pretty good on EJ's part. I'll give him credit for that. All right, up next, we will break down EJ's utterly ridiculous LeBron take without EJ chiming in. Maggie and Perloff Show. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogus sitting in for Maggie Gray. It was a huge basketball day yesterday, just huge. We had an exhibition game, Team USA versus Germany, and apparently these exhibition games count in LeBron's mind. And we had the Summer League Championship, which apparently count in somebody else's mind because they handed out rings after the game. But let's focus on Team USA. Once again, a close game. LeBron got hot at the end to carry them past Germany. Again, an exhibition game, so Steve Kerr is still figuring out who he's going to play, that kind of thing. Is this making you rethink where LeBron James is at 39 years old? Because to me, it didn't look great at the end of last season. I mean, he's still very, very, very good. But is he possibly the dominant player in the NBA still, Andrew Bogus?
Not the most dominant player in the NBA over an entire 82-game schedule plus 2 months of postseason. But this being more sprint than marathon allows LeBron to pick his spots well and not score 40, but score 20 super impactful points when Team USA needs them the most.
Yeah, I mean, can we be honest here? Like, he's torching one of the Wagner brothers. Like, they're not going up against...
But hey...
Yeah,
the Germans, the two Wagners, a Schroeder and a Daniel Theiss, won the World Cup last summer. These are the current world champions.
Okay, now explain this to me like I'm a child. You and EJ Stewart, is EJ up actually? Okay, we're talking about yesterday. Is Team USA have something structurally wrong where they're not putting in enough practice over a longer time and they're just throwing this team together? Now, you and EJ went back and forth on Twitter about this last night. You think that they're okay, they're in okay shape despite these World Cup struggles, Andrew?
Yeah, this actually began Sunday on the phone between the three of us when I think the quote from EJ was, this has been brewing for a long time when they almost lost to South Sudan.
Right.
And I said, I don't know what's brewing because they haven't lost anything. They've won the last four gold medals. And EJ quickly scoffed at that and said, they just lost the World Cup. And I said, that doesn't matter
right
to anybody. Because you were in basketball conversations all the time about who's great, who's not. Has anyone ever presented a World Cup resume, a FIBA World Cup win or loss, as a way to support or break down a player? Have you ever had that thrown in your face? Well, he won two FIBA World Cups.
Well, I'm going to be honest, and we were going back and forth with EJ, and in all reality, this World Cup was last year. I don't remember us covering it. I don't remember talking about the box scores. I don't remember seeing highlights. Well, I don't remember anything about it.
When they lost, and it was like a B-ish team, because the problem with the current setup, the World Cup used to be every 4 years, yeah, but in the 2 years in between Olympics. So it was a way to like bring the national teams together, revive some international basketball fun. But then the last two versions, they've switched it. It's the year before the Olympics. So it was 1920 and then 23-24. And the big Team USA guys don't want to play the World Cup because they don't want to give up back-to-back summers, which I see the logic in. Like if Steph Curry doesn't need to give away two summers for FIBA World Cup and the Olympics. So last year the team was the Nova Knicks basically, and a bunch of other, you know, above average to lower level all-star players, and they didn't win, and everyone freaked out.
Okay, now that Team USA's had another close game, Bogus, do you think that maybe EJ was on to something?
Clearly. I mean, enough's enough. There's been enough warning signs. Mm. You've got close calls to Canada. You almost lose to a directional school from a smaller conference in South Sudan over the weekend. And then these Wagner brothers show up off the Autobahn and force you to ask Grandpa LeBron to score 11 late points. Like, it needs to be said. This has to be fixed. I'm calling for an entire Capitol Hill hearing on what's going on at USA Basketball. Steve Kerr's got to answer questions. Grant Hill's got to answer questions. Even LeBron's got to answer questions as to why are we leaning on him on a Monday afternoon in London to rescue us from Germany.
So you're being serious now.
Not even a little bit.
Something's wrong.
No, nothing's wrong. These games don't matter. And again, as I said on Sunday, let's talk in 3.5 weeks if they don't have the gold medal for whatever reason, let's have a conversation.
EJ Stewart, the floor is yours.
I just feel like everything I heard from Bogus is pure confirmation bias. So it's just, well, because they haven't won an Olympic gold, they haven't lost an Olympic gold medal, which is the only standard I'm going to hold us to. Therefore, there's no problems at all, even though we had an era of USA basketball where they didn't lose anything. They didn't lose anything under Coach K for about 8 years. Those World Cups you kept saying don't matter. Guess what? LeBron was playing in them. Dwayne Wade was playing in them. Kevin Durant was playing
when
them.
When they were young men.
And they were winning gold medals at that point. And that was because, just like Joe Vardon said yesterday, there was an actual structure in place where these guys weren't thrown together 2 or 3 weeks before and said, go out there, practice a couple of games, and then go play against world teams that have been playing international competition for years. So when we see these games, these exhibition games, where we're expecting Team USA, this is a very talented roster, to just run through these teams, and they can't, and we're saying, well, why is that happening? I'm telling you why that is happening. Now, we can say, well, it doesn't matter that they're winning close games. All right, well, these close games aren't going to be close games necessarily, maybe some of these games in the Olympics, but it only takes one loss to ruin everything. I mean, the margin of error for Team USA is so much smaller now than it was to say, well, as long as they don't lose that one game, I don't see it yet. I don't care. I just feel like, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we're going to see them lose. And I'm going to say, all right, well, now they lost, Bogus. Now what? And you're going to be like, all right, well, I don't know. But like, clearly something is different. Something has changed. No question.
And I think the thing that changed is that everyone continues to catch up. And I understand why guys didn't want to play the World Cup last year. And now I don't think I'm alone in disregarding the World Cup. I'll ask you the same question I just asked Perloff. Have you ever been in a conversation where anyone has brought up the World Cup as a reason
The man you're sitting next to is who I talked to about the World Cup. Because last year you couldn't stop talking about how good Austin Reeves looked in the World Cup. So I'm not gonna hear about this.
Summer League I was watching.
I'm not gonna hear about this. You kept saying that, and I'm like, you're literally sitting next to somebody who every time at the printer last year kept telling me, Austin Reeves looks really good in it.
I thought that was preseason. By the way, every time you say the World Cup, 99% of us think you're talking about soccer. I didn't even know there was a basketball World Cup.
And people were like,
it used to be called the World Championships.
And people were freaking out over Anthony Edwards last year. Right,
exactly.
Summer.
So, right. So people were
But I'm talking about like historical conversations. It's one thing to watch a game and go, oh man, that's good. But you've been in the conversation where you've been debating player A and player B, and someone's used their World Cup or World Championship resume to support them.
You just talked about Anthony Edwards last year.
No,
we just talked
about. But no one is bringing less.
Wait, stop, stop. One second. I'm sensing a show bet. Are you guys willing to make a show bet? EJ, are you willing to make a show bet if a team other than the U.S. wins, you win the bet, and Andrew Bogus has to eat a gross food from that country? I'm already looking if Germany wins. There's something called sow's stomach or samujan.
I'm not eating anything stomach.
And if Team USA wins a gold, then EJ, you have to eat something gross. Because I feel like a bet is brewing.
But we're not arguing over who's going to win or not.
EJ's saying U.S. is vulnerable because of the system. Otherwise, what are we doing
USA
here?
Is vulnerable because the other teams are that much better.
I thought you just said that at the end of the day, the USA is going to win, Bogus.
Yes, there's a difference between being more vulnerable and not going to win. I still think they're going to win. Do you think they're not going to win, EJ? Do you think that they are not? You're picking somebody else.
They are favored to win, and I would pick them to win. Do I think that they can definitely lose? Absolutely, because the nature of the tournament is one game elimination once you get to knockout round. So at that point, all it takes is one bad game. What we've seen in the exhibition competition is that all it takes is LeBron James to save them in these situations.
But wasn't that true?
The margin of error is so small.
Wasn't that true 8 years ago? Or you're saying back then there was no margin of error.
No, the margin of error, the team was better. Yeah. They were more put together.
So all right. Let's get next into the sitcom bracket where we can argue some more. One of EJ's shows goes down. That's next on the Maggie and Perloff Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.